Hope you guys are excited. I know I am. So I'm just going to do a quick prayer, and then and we'll get started. God, I pray that the word that I proclaim today is really from you, not from me, that I'm really just a vessel for what you want the congregation to hear, God. So I pray that we would hear what you have to say to us and then act on it, God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Last week, Pastor Al ended up preaching up on baptism, which was really cool. It was partially cool and partially scary for me because I was like, you just took half of my sermon. Okay, we're going to have to work on this one. Let's go. Okay. But it actually worked out really well because I could cut down a little bit and then expand on the second half. So really, I named it, "So Where Do We Go From Here?" as in, okay, we heard part one last week, here's part two. It's a really good continuation. So I'm going to kind of briefly recap with three verses here from Romans 8 on what Pastor Al talked about last week, and then we'll get into it. So this is Romans 8, 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering." In a nutshell, that's pretty much what Christianity is. Christ came down. There is no condemnation for those of us who are in him. And Pastor Al talked about how baptism is a symbol of that and what comes along with that. So if we take a brief look at it, we are free. We are free. We've been set free from Jesus. And that's so important, and that's a point that's going to keep coming up today. I wanted to make that really quickly. And number two, God sent his only Son. That's huge. And so where I want to go with that is, what does that say about value? So I ended up looking up the definition of value, and there were a few of them, but this is the one that I want you to hear. Okay, definition of value. The worth of something in terms of the amount of other things for which it can be exchanged. Very wordy, I know, so I'm going to give you a brief example. So if you take, I don't know, a Hot Wheels car and a real car, you're probably willing to maybe spend up to 50 cents, maybe a dollar for a cool Hot Wheels car, but then you're going to have $20,000 for a nice new car. You can go up to, I don't know, $250,000 for really, really nice cars like Ferraris and whatnot. It'd be really nice, but... So you can see that there's a difference in value between the little car and the big car. So what does that have to do with us, though? It has to do with this. If God is willing to sacrifice his only Son, the most valuable thing in the universe, for us, how valuable are we? Whoa. Blew my mind. So we need to understand the view that God has for us, that we are of this immense value and that he loves us so much, and start living it out. And so here's another fun illustration. I think you guys will like it. I told Aaron about it. That should make this more concrete. I'm going to explain how we normally look at things, how we normally live our lives, and then explain, you know, how we should be. So I've been lifting for a few months, and as you can see, made some pretty good gains. I would say so. I'd show you the after photos from my 12-week transformation that I did during the semester at school, but thinking the church really isn't the venue for that, for those of you who have seen it, leave it there. But naturally, the conclusion that I'm going to spend more time in front of the mirror miring what I've completed is imminent. And the term miring is a short term for admiring as bodybuilding. So my mom will even tell you that I spend more time in front of the mirror than she does. Could be true. I don't know. So, but hear this. If I were to stop going to the gym right now and I were to start eating unhealthy, I would probably go back to my slim 120-pound scrawny frame and I would lose everything that I had. And naturally, I would not be miring in front of the mirror as much as I am now. That's how we operate with God in terms of our sin. Okay? What we do is we think, okay, I'm going to work hard to break away from my sin. And when you do great, you're like, oh, yeah, God loves me. All right, I'm doing well. But if we start failing, we start thinking, oh, no, God doesn't like me anymore. I got to turn it around. I'm not worthy. And that's not right. That's called works righteousness, and we get stuck in that. I know I get stuck in that all the time. But that's not how we should be viewing things. So, where do we go from here? Last week, and so far this week, it's been, you know, relatively conceptual, the ideas that we've been talking about with works righteousness and Christ redeeming us. But where should it take us? And I'm sure, you know, where we've drawn, you know, some really good things of that, and you know, you can draw what I'm about to teach you, otherwise I wouldn't be teaching it. But where should we take it, and what does it mean for us practically? So if we can throw the Great Commission up there, that would be awesome. Nice. Okay, so I'll read Matthew 28. It's the Great Commission. It's towards the end. So what I'm going to do is, through the Bible, because really the Bible has already laid out the logical outworking of what it means to be redeemed, so I'm just going to say it. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see what's going on here? With this newfound grace, Jesus requires change. He requires movement from us. Now, that doesn't mean that we're responsible for our salvation. No, that's not true, because we just talked about that. No. But it does require us to do something. You know, I've often heard it said, God loves us enough that he accepts us for who we are, but loves us too much to let us stay the same. Same concept applies here. So then we can look into Acts 1, verses 7 through 8. Awesome. He said to them, this is Jesus, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If you look through the rest of Acts, you see what the disciples, what the apostles are doing. They are literally doing just that. They're going out and they're fulfilling exactly what Jesus is saying. They're going and talking to people. They're spreading the gospel. It's exactly what we should be doing, too. That hasn't changed. So the Bible really shows us exactly where to go from here. We know we've been saved. The creator of the universe loves us. And so go and share the good news with everyone. So let's go into this practically now. I don't know about you, but a lot of times it's not the first thing on my mind to share my faith with somebody the first time I'm talking to them. Couple of reasons for that can be, I'm busy. I got my own things I'm worried about right now. I'm tired. Just want to go home. I don't want to offend anyone. I wouldn't want to tell you anything that's offensive. And I'm afraid I don't have the answers to questions they might throw at me. So ultimately, really what it boils down to is that this is a barrier we need to get over, and it's only one thing. It boils down to fear. We're afraid to talk to people. But why? Question really it comes down to is why. And it's because we haven't had that paradigm shift in the way of our thinking. We still think that we need to have acceptance from other people in order to have acceptance from God, but that's not true. That's just not true. We're accepted from above, and so now we can go out and help the world. Okay? So being accepted by the world can be a good thing in certain circumstances. Absolutely. But if we're supposed to be in the world and not of the world, and we're seeking the world's acceptance, are we seeking God's acceptance? So the idea is, really, you have to understand that we're accepted by God. That's all that matters. He loves you so much. And because of that, that enables you to go out and talk to people. Okay? So that means it's time to make some changes. It's time to walk the talk. Alice talked about postmodernity quite a bit in previous weeks, and I would love to go through the philosophy of that because it's a great topic and I love it. But all you really need to know about that is that this day and age, people want authenticity. That's really what it comes down to. If you say you believe in something, and then you do something else, am I really going to believe what you're saying? Probably not. But if you say you believe something and then you hold to it and you show that what you say you believe, you actually act out on, people are going to wonder, oh, okay, that's legitimate. That's definitely legitimate. I want to check that out. So, yeah, okay. So talking about your faith is living out the tenets that you believe in. So it's important for us to be doing that. And if we saw Christians loving like we know we're supposed to and that we can, it would generate enormous interest in Jesus. I swear, I know it. And so I have some ideas to get you started on the practical side of just day-to-day living. So here's actually, I'm going to see if anybody knows this one. Do you know what the worst day for tips is for people working at restaurants? Yeah, Aaron. That's right. It's Sunday, and more specifically, it's late morning and early afternoon. What time does that correspond with? Yeah, church gets out. Horrible tips right thereafter. Maybe it's time to start being better tippers, to start, right? To start showing the love of Jesus, right? If you can give a good tip and say to your waiter, you know, I appreciate what you did. Thank you for everything. They're going to go, wow, you know, that made my day. And then you can share the gospel. Have you ever seen someone that's upset or angry and just think, oh, what's his or her problem? It's got her panties in a bunch or whatever. If you see that person at the grocery store, go offer to pay for their groceries. Or if you can't, which is, you know, that could be the case, simply go and ask what's going on. You know, most people will be stunned that you actually care, especially in New England, because we don't really talk to people very much. We're pretty closed off, right? Go and talk to them. They will notice that. They'll remember that. And then again, even if not at that moment, you may not be able to spread the gospel then, but if all Christians start doing that, that's going to start sowing seeds. Okay? I guarantee that's going to make a huge impression. How about at work? The same thing applies at work. Someone is feeling down. Ask what's going on. Ask if you can pray for them right there on the spot, if your job allows that. I know there are some jobs where you're not supposed to do that sort of thing. But again, that's going to be like, wow, that person cares for me. They're going to pray for me. You walk the walk. You walk the talk. It's going to make an impact. Or again, maybe someone has a huge workload and you can lend a hand, even if it's just bringing coffee to the person. Eventually, that effort will get noticed and people will start asking questions about why you do what you do. Again, it's all about, if you live out what you say you believe in, people are going to ask about it. They're going to be interested in the gospel. Or actually, how about this one? Maybe you're the one with the heavy load, but instead of complaining about it, you say a prayer and you bear the burden with grace. People, again, are going to be like, wow, you know, they got a big heavy load, and I have a big heavy load, and I'm miserable, but they're happy. What? What's your secret? It's Jesus. So what it comes down to, really, if you live like one with the Holy Spirit in you, as we know we have, Pastor Al told us about that, you'll draw people in like a magnet, and people will want to hear about Jesus. Wow. So, I'll finish up with a brief summary and a prayer for us, because I know you're all amped to go and rep Jesus now. So true. You totally are. I can feel it. All right. So, number one, God loves us so much that he gave up his most valuable possession for us. And Pastor Al focused last week on the importance of the Holy Spirit being in us. We have the Holy Spirit, which enables us to go and do these things and to know that we're accepted by God. If these two things are true, and they are, then we have absolutely nothing to lose by talking about the one who saved us. We see evidence of this begin in Matthew all the way through Acts. And then again in the epistles that Paul talks about too, you can see what he's doing. He keeps a really good record of here's where I've been, here's what I'm doing. We know what the effect of the gospel is when you let it radically change who you are. So it's time to make some changes in our day-to-day. So with the love of God, the authority of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, let's go represent the kingdom of God. And by the way, I think you should take a good look at the white signs posted at the ends of the driveway here at the church. Take it, take it seriously. And you may forget, so I'll tell you what it says anyway, but remember to look at it anyway. It says, you are now entering the mission field. So true. Wherever you go, it's always the mission field. It's always an opportunity to talk about God. All right, so I'll say a prayer. God, thank you for giving us this word today. I pray that we would take from it what you have for us, God. And I pray that we would make some radical changes in our lives. Start knowing who we are, that we're children of yours, God, and that you love us so much. We see in Romans 8, 38, I think, 39, that nothing can separate us from you, God. That's amazing. We need to keep that in mind always. I pray that we would keep that in mind so that as we go about our daily lives, we can constantly be living in that love and then representing it and showing it to everyone else. That way they would be interested in knowing about you, because you are the prized possession in each of our hearts, God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.
All right, please stand. Our closing song is All in All. It's quite a bit of bullshit.